This is Report to Wyoming.
This show targets local issues that matter right here in Natrona County, where we talk to real people about their thoughts and ideas. Today's episode is part two of a discussion about the animal shelter in town. Last week, I talked to Craig Cummings, the director of the Humane Society in Natrona County, and he explained that they work closely with the animal shelter, even though a lot of people think of them as two completely different things. Afterwards, I sat down with Stephanie Tarbett to talk about the Casper Animal Shelter, and she too explained how both organizations work together to try to solve the issue of animal homelessness. I was touched by her compassion for the animals and motivation to give them the most comfortable life possible. How did you get involved working with animals, Stephanie?
So I've kind of always been around animals my entire life, and when I graduated college back in 2017, I started working at the local animal shelter in Cody, Wyoming.
Buffalo Bill's hometown.
Oh, yes, yes.
I have to say, fun fact.
Yeah, so I started working there back in 2017. It was just a job temporarily until I figured out where I wanted to go with my degrees, and ended up getting hooked and never really left. So just kind of moved around in different areas of working with animals. Right now, I went from working in a shelter environment at the Cody Shelter, as well as I did used to work at the Casper Humane Society as well. Now I'm up at Metro doing animal control. So I've just kind of bounced around in different aspects of working with animals.
Now, some people get the difference between the animal shelter and the Humane Society. Can you explain for people who don't know maybe how it differs?
So, essentially, the Casper Humane Society is a nonprofit organization that works independently. They're their own, essentially, entity. The Metro Animal Shelter is a city-owned and run shelter for Natrona County, the city of Casper, and the town of Barnon. So essentially, the key difference is the Casper Humane Society can kind of take animals as they have space and ability to care for them. The Metro Animal Shelter, since they are a city-run shelter, they're open admission, which means they have to take any animals that come in regardless whether they have space, regardless of the temperament of the animal, the medical conditions of the animal. They have to take them no matter what. While the Casper Humane Society, since they're independently run, they can kind of pick and choose when they have the space, the time, or the ability to care for said animal or its adoptability. They can kind of decide that before taking on that animal. The other difference is the Metro Animal Shelter also holds the stray animals that are picked up that are waiting for owners to find them. So those are housed there as well. I know the Casper Humane Society, when possible, will try to help out with some of those, just holding them while their stray period is up. But for the most part, majority of them are up at the Metro Animal Shelter.
How long have you worked there?
So I've been with them from December 2019, about. We, as animal control, we've kind of been moved back and forth. So I didn't get actually like stationed up at the Metro Animal Shelter until late 2020, but I've been working as animal control since December of 2019.
Walk me through what a typical day is like at Metro. Are there any typical days at Metro?
Yeah.
That's what I should have asked.
Busy is a typical day. So typically the kennel techs will come in pretty early in the morning. They'll make sure the animals are cared for. They'll get them fed, watered, clean up their kennels, make sure everything gets sanitized, kind of organize and prepare for the day. Once they're done with that, they spend pretty much the entire morning getting that done. Once that's done, then the shelter opens up to the public, so their afternoon is spent trying to spot clean kennels throughout the day. You know, animals are not tidy beings, so they kind of try to maintain the spot and cleanliness of that. They'll also help with people who are interested in meeting an animal that they're thinking about adopting. We require dog meet and greets to adopt. So if you already have dogs in your home and you want to adopt a dog at our facility, you have to bring them in to meet each other to make sure all the personalities are going to blend. But, you know, just like people, not all dogs or cats like each other. So they're doing a lot of that, just doing dog meet and greets, bringing cats out for people who are interested in engaging with the cat before deciding if they want to adopt or not, kind of informing people about the personalities of the animals to what they know of what they've seen when they've been around them. Helping the front desk with answering phones, processing applications. They kind of do a wide variety of things.
And what's the volume like right now?
I don't honestly know what the current numbers are right this moment, but they've been staying pretty full throughout the summer with just large quantities of owner surrenders coming in, strays not being reclaimed. So they've got quite a few.
Is it just dogs and cats?
It is mainly dogs and cats. They do get a large amount of guinea pigs. Rabbits are fairly frequent as well. Turtles. They had a couple hedgehogs the other day. So they kind of get a variety of animals. They get a lot of reptiles, bearded dragons, chameleons, things like that. I'd say caged-wise, the most common ones are guinea pigs and rabbits.
And do you guys have a website or a social media where you will, like, post these available animals for adoption?
So we utilize a software called Chameleon, where all the animals are booked in upon receiving and put into the system, and then photos are updated typically fairly quickly when it comes to strays, but pretty much all owner surrenders are done almost immediately with updating of photos, and that is through the City of Casper's website. You'll go to the Metro Animal Shelter part of that website, and you can click the link to see all the animals that are in the facility. If people are interested in adopting, we always recommend that you come up yourself, because sometimes photos only show one aspect of the animal. Maybe they're bigger than they looked in the photo, they're smaller than they looked. Sometimes, you know, you get that instant eye contact with that dog that you wouldn't have gotten through a photo. And some, like people, just photograph better than others.
Oh, sure. What's the most exotic animal you guys have had?
I know before my time, at some point, they had a baby alligator that was found. But I'd say since I've been up there, the most exotic has been probably the chameleon. They had a chameleon that got surrendered over, and don't see very many of those.
I used to have a chameleon named Loki. He did. Okay, we'll edit that out. No, he died. I couldn't take care of him. Those exotic pets are really hard to take care of, and they, you know, they're not very expensive to go get at Petco. And so just, I imagine there are a lot of people like me who think, oh, because it's at Petco, it's going to be, you know, manageable. And sometimes you don't know what you're getting yourself into. And then it's really at the animal's detriment. And so you probably get a lot of that. People who took on maybe they bit more than they could chew. Or I was talking to Craig earlier, and it's he said this year there have just been a lot of people leaving the state, and they couldn't bring their pets with them because maybe they were renting and they weren't allowed, or they didn't have a fence or whatever it was. But
yeah, we've seen a lot of that as well. Unfortunately, pet-friendly rentals are hard to find these days, and a lot of people are having to choose between being homeless or giving up their family members. So we've been seeing a lot of owner surrenders because of people moving, losing their jobs, inflation's affecting their ability to afford the animals. Those are all things that we've seen a lot. This has probably been the heaviest year for owner surrenders.
And do you feel like you have enough space for the volume of animals coming in?
The shelter is just not big enough to house comfortably as many animals that we have been receiving every year. It gets harder and harder every year as more and more animals come through. Thankfully, we are seeing more people that are making sure their animals have tags and microchips, so at least stray animals, we can somewhat get reunited with their owners fairly quickly so that we can try and get them in and out as soon as possible. I think we've done pretty good at working with the Humane Society and other rescues to try to get animals move to other facilities that just have more time. Those ones that are just a little harder to adopt out need a little more time. We've been working quite a bit, especially this year with the Casper Humane Society, to try and get some moved over that they just have a better facility for, to help clear out some space for us so that we can try and get them moved out and just try to accommodate as comfortably as possible all the animals that are coming in.
Do you guys have any protocol for working on behavioral things or training? with the animals?
So we don't really have the staff to work on any severe behavioral issues. We do try to do what we can just for obedient-wise. Like, you take a dog out on leash, try and make sure they're not pulling or jumping on you, try to encourage good, positive, just simple obedience things. It's just hard with as short-staffed as Metro has been for a little while of trying to find people that can handle the workload to come and work. It's just really hard to really work with the animals with how many that there is. So if we identify an animal with a severe behavioral issue, that's not going to be something we can fix and is going to affect their adoptability, then we try to get another organization that's just better suited and has better staff to work with that. We've worked a lot with the Cheyenne Rescues that work with the jail programs that get dogs up to 4 years of age into their inmate program where they can work with them one-on-one. So we try really hard to find options for the animals that's just going to be better suited for them, that have the time and the resources to help move them past their issues that are otherwise great, great dogs. They just need a little bit more time than we have to give them.
And so some of this is so heartbreaking to think about. How do you do it every single day? What drives you to just put on a brave face, a strong face, and just keep going?
So it is hard. It's a very emotionally tolling job, doing it day in and day out. But I can't really speak for others, but my personal motivation is just the animals. No one can speak for them except us. Like, they can't speak for themselves. They can't ensure their own safety, or they can't ensure that they make it to a good home or that they're being cared for. So it's our job to speak for them, to ensure that they're getting everything that they need and that they're finding that perfect match for them so that they are protected and cared for the rest of their lives.
Wow. Gosh, you are amazing. And what the Humane Society does too, it just makes me feel so happy that there are people with a big heart like you that can take care of this local issue, because it is a big local issue. Do you have a favorite memory from your time there?
Oh, there's quite a few. I think for me, there's not just one particular one that stands out. It's the ones with the animals that had everything going against them to prevent them from getting their happy ending, that eventually found that perfect family that gave them that happy ending. Or it's the abused animals that were neglected and abused their whole lives that still maintained a wonderful personality and demeanor, who just still loved everything and everyone, who then you get to see flourish in their new homes, getting to experience everything they didn't get before. So it's all of those that keep me going, is the happy endings and the happy stories, and looking at the ones that 3 years ago were malnourished and living in horrible conditions, and now they're spoiled and getting dressed up in Christmas pajamas and opening their bark boxes at Christmas.
Oh, I love that. And so one thing I talked to Craig about was adoptability, and that some animals are more prone to getting adopted than others. You know, the younger, maybe this is subjective, but cuter ones, if you will. Do you struggle with the animals that just don't seem to get as much affection and attention as the others?
Oh, yes, definitely. Small breeds, they tend to go pretty quick, regardless of age, personality, anything like that. Small breeds are pretty high in demand. A lot of the larger ones or medium-sized ones that just aren't very unique tend to sit up there, unfortunately, for a while. They're harder to adopt out. Same with cats. Pretty much once kittens hit about 6 months, that's when they're hitting what I call their teenage gangly years, where they're just not cute and little anymore. They're looking more like adult cats, so people just aren't as interested. They want the little kittens, the cute little fluffy ones that don't know how their legs work yet, and not the ones that are almost adults, or a lot of the senior animals, they frequently get looked over. A lot of people think animals, if you don't get them as puppies and kittens, that they just aren't trainable, they aren't good family pets, or they're up at a shelter for a reason, when a lot of times they just had an unfortunate thing occur in their owner's lives that resulted in them being up there, and something that they didn't have any control of or wasn't necessarily their fault.
when we had finished our interview, Craig and I, as I was walking him out the door, he just mentioned that they had a lot of pit bulls. Do you find that there's one particular breed that you end up getting more of than another when it comes to animals?
We tend to see a lot of variety. I'd say some of the most common breeds we see in this area is definitely pit bulls, German shepherds, Australian shepherds, border collies, labs, just hounds. Off the top of my head, those are the ones that we see the most of. We kind of joke how it seems to come in themes, where sometimes we just seem to be getting a lot of pit bulls in at once. Sometimes we're getting a lot of German shepherds in at once. Sometimes there's just black labs everywhere. It's just, it's really odd sometimes how they seem to come and go, and it kind of differs how much is there. I think lately we've been seeing a lot more pit bulls or pit bull mixes getting turned over, or German shepherds or Rottweilers, just because of breeding restrictions or breed restrictions. People are moving and they can't find a rental that will allow their animals, or they just bought a house and they can't find a home insurance that will cover their residence, or their premiums are going to be higher than they can afford because of the breed of dog that they have. So we're seeing just a lot of breed discrimination that's resulting in these dogs that haven't done anything wrong, but are just ending up at the shelter because their owners are just out of options.
And do you find that it's harder for those dogs to get adopted because of breed discrimination?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Craig had talked about how, especially pit bulls, but German shepherds too, just the bigger dogs that have that reputation, it's a lot harder for them to get adopted. But regardless, he said that he doesn't believe that it's their particular breed that there's that they're more prone to, I guess, aggression than other dogs. It's just that when you have a big dog like that, who isn't trained properly, it can result much, much worse than if it's a small Chihuahua. Yeah,
I always say there's a show called Chihuahuas from Hell, but there's not a show about any other breed. We do see a lot of that, where people are a lot more willing to overlook behavioral issues from small dogs than they are bigger dogs. Like, you hear a lot, oh, well, those are just ankle biters. Well, they don't really call that for an 80-pound dog. It's not, I guess, is socially acceptable for an 80-pound dog to be doing what a lot of people have their small breed dogs doing, or that they're willing to accept from a small breed dog. So they do have kind of almost different standards of behavior between small dogs and big dogs. So when it comes to these bigger dogs, things, a lot of them are only about a year, year and a half, so they're not very old dogs, but what was cute when they were puppies gets a lot less cute when they get older and they're bigger and they're a little rougher. And so it just kind of puts them in a bad spot, because now you got to kind of undo previously learned behaviors.
Do you feel like you're always safe when you're at work?
Well, personally, in animal control, I'm not. Dealing with a lot of vicious animals, aggressive and loose animals, things like that are just not the safest.
Were you trained specially for that?
Yeah, so we all have years of experience in working with animals in animal control. We've done it, or we've worked in law enforcement, so we're used to dealing with difficult situations. And we also have trainings and certifications and stuff that we receive in order to essentially further our education and our knowledge and our skill set to better ensure our safety and the safety of the public from the animals that we're trying to contain sometimes. Up at the shelter, they do, when we confiscate animals for being aggressive or vicious, or like I said, they kind of have to take whatever is surrendered over, regardless of their personality, demeanor, adaptability, anything like that. So they do frequently as well deal with very aggressive animals that have to be kept up at the shelter, especially if we have a court case for pending charges. Sometimes those animals are got pending charges against them because of their behavior. So they're just not the friendliest that they have to deal with as well. I would say majority of dogs that we deal with on the street and in the shelter are good dogs. They're just put into a stressful and fear-inducing situation, and they're just reacting on instinct.
And yeah, being in the cages and being in unfamiliar territory, I'm sure that only ramps up the stress, and there's a lot of unknowns. How about the care for the animals that get illnesses or injuries? Do you guys feel like you have, or do you have, health services available to them?
So a lot of it kind of depends. We do, like the Humane Society, we have a budget that we have to try to stick to spend money, and vet services are definitely not cheap. We do our best to help as many animals as we can. So for example, if an animal is surrendered over and has just a little minor medical condition, but otherwise is a very adoptable, friendly animal, then we'll do everything we can to get that medical issue treated. Sometimes we get strays that were hit by cars or found with injuries. We do everything we can to keep them comfortable, to see if an owner is going to come forward. And once the stray hold is up, and if an owner doesn't come forward, then we can make medical decisions for the animal, aside from just basic comfort and care. So we've actually had quite a few animals in the last year that we've paid to have limbs amputated so that they could heal and recover and become adopted. We've done tumor removals, paid for medications for animals that just came in with sick that just needed some antibiotics, infected wounds. Like, I would say majority of them were able to treat. There's just some that if the vet's telling us this animal's not gonna heal or recover, that we have to go with their expertise. Or if it's an animal that's gonna require more time to be rehabilitated from their injury, then we'll do everything we can to find a rescue or someone who can take it that can give that animal what they need to be rehabilitated. So we do a lot of juggling and shifting around to try and make sure that the animals are getting what they need.
Aside from adopting an animal, what can people do to help out with Metro Animal Shelter?
A lot of people don't realize that you can volunteer up at Metro. There is some little bit of paperwork that has to be filled out, but nothing intense. And once that paperwork's filled out, they can come up and walk our adoptable dogs, get them out of the kennels, get them some exercise. They can help us with reinforcing basic obedience into these dogs, you know, getting them out, getting them some exercise, helping them learn how to sit, those that don't know how. We've got treats, leashes, all sorts of stuff that we're happy to get them set up with if they want to come up and just hang out with a dog for a little bit or a few different dogs. We've got fluffy cats that we could use help with grooming and keep trying to keep them mat free. With how much the kennel techs do to try and keep things clean and try to provide everything with the animals, they just unfortunately don't have a whole lot of leftover time to spend with the animals as much as they would like to. So it always helps when the public can come help us give them what we don't have the ability to give them, which is just simply time.
What is a piece of advice that you would share with someone who's thinking about adopting an animal for Metro?
My best advice would just be making sure that you are willing to find the one that's right for you. Not every dog is meant for every family. Not every dog is the perfect fit for every family. I think the best advice is figure out what you want from the dog. What do you need from the dog? Do you want one that's just going to sit on the couch and be a couch potato all day long? Are you really active? You like jogging, hiking? You want a dog that can keep up with that? Do you travel a lot? So you want a dog that likes to travel and is good in the car? You know, kind of what do you envision in your in your new family member. And then once you figure that out, then come up and, you know, see the dogs, talk to the staff to figure out if we have a dog that's going to meet what you're looking for. And the other biggest thing is give them all a chance.
Where are you guys located at?
We're up near the landfill at 2392 Metro Road.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us. According to their website, Metro Animal Services' goal is to place healthy, temperamentally sound animals in homes where they will receive good lifelong care. Towards this goal, the following adoption policies apply. Animals are primarily adopted as household pets and companion animals and for other utilitarian purposes. No dog is adopted only for the purpose of becoming or being used as a guard dog or attack dog. Only dogs and cats that are not known to have exhibited aggressive tendencies or other serious behavioral problems will be placed for adoption. Under no circumstances shall any animal be adopted, sold, released, or otherwise given away for research, experimental, or laboratory testing. All adopters must be 18 years of age or older. No animals will be adopted to people living in rental properties, including mobile home parks, without the explicit authorization of the manager or landlord. The adopter must agree to provide the animal with proper care at all times, including nutritious food, water, shelter, exercise, and vet care necessary to prevent illness and relieve suffering. The prospective adopter must complete and sign all necessary forms and agree to have the animal sterilized. Once an adoption application is completed and turned in, a background check is done. If you pass the background check, then you can adopt the animal. The cost to adopt a dog is $50, and the cost to adopt a cat is $35. Included in the adoption fee is a microchip, first set of shots, free health exam, and if needed, a cat carrier. Once the animal has received its rabies shot, bring proof of the rabies vaccination to Metro, and you will receive a license. If the animal being adopted is not spayed or neutered, then a $100 cash deposit must be given at the time of the adoption. Once the adopter provides proof that the animal has been spayed or neutered, the deposit will be refunded. Here are 11 facts that are grim, but also significant. Only 1 out of every 10 dogs born will find a permanent home. The main reason animals are in shelters is because owners give them up or animal control finds them on the street. Each year, approximately 2.7 million dogs and cats are killed because shelters are too full and there aren't enough adoptive homes. Approximately 7.6 million companion animals enter animal shelters nationwide every year. Of those, approximately 3.9 million are dogs and 3.4 million are cats. According to the National Council on Pet Population Study and Policy, less than 2% of cats and only 15 to 20% of dogs are returned to their owners. 25% of dogs that enter local shelters are purebred. About twice as many animals enter shelters as strays compared to the numbers that are relinquished by their owners. It is impossible to determine how many stray dogs and cats live in the United States, but estimates for cats alone range up to 70 million. Only 10% of the animals received by shelters have been spayed or neutered. Overpopulation, due to owners letting their pets accidentally or intentionally reproduce, sees millions of these excess animals killed annually. Many strays are lost pets that were not kept properly indoors or provided with identification. And according to the Humane Society, there are about 3,500 brick-and-mortar animal shelters in the U.S. and 10,000 rescue groups and animal sanctuaries in North America. Other research points out that volunteering at an animal shelter benefits you just as much as it benefits the pets. It is a feel-good thing. Being an animal shelter volunteer makes you feel like you're doing the right thing. Part of the job as a volunteer is that you work with the animals so that they can become adoptable. You instantly see the results of your labor. As you begin to work with an animal, you can see a change in their personality almost instantly. The most important thing is dog walking. Walking dogs is the easiest cure for kennel stress. Kennel stress is the behavior dogs have when transitioned to a kennel. Signs of this stress includes hiding in the back of the kennel, being less active, or not eating. Some dogs may behave aggressively in response to stress, while others will begin to perform repetitive behaviors, increase their frequency of barking, become destructive, and start to urinate and defecate in their kennel. Stress can affect a shelter dog's physical health, causing increased susceptibility to disease and a longer recovery time for illness. It is scientifically proven that spending time with animals helps lower your stress levels and blood pressure, too. Volunteering is a great way to try out a new career or to try something new.
This has been Report to Wyoming, presented in the public interest by Town Square Media.